Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I'll take a glass of water. Well, good morning. Wasn't that good stuff? Amen. Man, amen. Thank you, guys. That was really good. And thank you, Trina, for all the work. Amen. I'm sure Lance did a little something, too. So thank you, guys, so much. I want to come up and just kind of sum up what we've talked about this morning, what they've sang about this morning, and all it's the importance of it. And you've gone through the resurrection story and how important it is. It's the time of Easter. I come back every year and I say about the same thing about what it means to us as we go through. I remember as I was growing up in church and we went through these plays as children. That's my fondest memories of church. And I can remember more learning about Jesus and about really what Easter was about and what Christmas was about because I participated in those plays. And so you had to memorize lines and all those kind of things and went through all that. And so I can remember a lot of those things that I learned through that about really what the emphasis of Easter was all about. It's just not about an Easter bunny. It's just not about chocolate. It's just not about peeps, okay? It's a lot more than that. It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's when we have eternal life. Amen? And so what I'm going to do with you today, I'm just going to take a small portion of your time. We have a couple other things we're going to do today. We're going to have a baptism today. Amen? And then we're also going to have a pinning, the pinning of our associate pastor. Mark, our associate pastor, is going to be leaving us. And Mark's been here about 9 years, a little over 9 years, and so he's going to be leaving. He's going to be a chaplain in the Air Force. And so if you wonder why some of these guys are walking around in their dress blues here, what color? I guess it's blues now. Is that right? Okay. Some color, okay. But anyway, that's what we're going to have a pinning service at the end. So it's a special time for Mark. Mark's going to be leaving us in May. He's going to be an Air Force chaplain, moving to Washington, not D.C., but state, okay? So he's getting as far away as he can. He said he wanted to go west, and that's where they sent him. And so you know how the military is. They give you what you want, isn't that right? So, you know, I don't know what I hear. But today what I want to talk to you about is in John 19, verse 30, it says this. It says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for it is finished. And we thank you for how we know that because of the cross and what you've done for us. God, it is so a blessing to see these young children sing about what you've done for us and what it means to us. And not only to us, but also to them, Lord. And God, we pray, dear God, that you get that past their heads and into their hearts and they might live it out through their lives, that they truly understand the true meaning of what Easter is all about. God, there's so many counterfeits out there that are prying for our time and for our money and for the attention. But God, we know that mostly it's all about Jesus Christ and what you've done for us, Lord. That is the center of all Easter is about. There's nothing wrong with having fun and going and doing the things that we do. But God, help us always point back to you because, God, you are the reason that we have a very life and have a very breath that we have, Lord. And we thank you for that. So take this time that we have here this morning, God, and God, show what it is finished really means. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. It is finished. What did the cross finish? What did the cross finish? Well, what that word means, that word "it is finished" means it's paid in full. Jesus had done something. He died on the cross, and his last words is "it is finished." And so what I want to do is I want to talk to you a little bit about what the kids sang about this morning and kind of tie it together. So what was finished that day on the cross? It's something that's very significant to our lives. It means everything to us. All of us in this room is going to live for eternity. Now, I've said this phrase a few times because it means a lot more to me than it may be to you, but what I've realized this year is that we're not a body with a soul, we're a soul with a body. And so one day we're going to shed this body. We're going to it's either going to be through the rapture or it's going to be through the death, but we're going to shed this body. But our soul is going to live for eternity. And so we talk about 1,000 years or 10,000 years or 1,000,000 years from now, we're still going to be alive. And so what we do with Jesus Christ determines where we spend eternity. And that's what we make such a big deal about this. That's why you see crosses and steeples and all these different things. We make such a big deal about Jesus because he's the one that paid our debt. He's the one that took our price. And that's what it is. And that's what the cross represents. The cross in Jesus' day was a symbol of torture and pain. But the cross in our day is a symbol of love and care and mercy and grace. And so when we look at a cross and we wear it around our necks or we have it on our cars or things like that, but we have to understand it's a picture of God's love and how much he cares for us. And the only reason that we have any kind of a hope is because of what Jesus has done for us and what he did for us on that cross that day. And what he said, the last thing he said was it was finished. And so what did it finish? Well, the first thing is that Jesus' suffering was finished.
I'm Am I right now? Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. Well, his suffering was finished. And so think about Jesus' flogging. In John 19 in verses 1 through 3, it says, then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And listen, this is not one of those lay across the bed and gets a whipping, okay? This was a terrible flogging. And those of us that have seen that in the movies and things like that, understand what this means. And it goes on, it says, the soldier twisted crowns of thorns and put it on his head, and they clothed him in purple robe, and they went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and they struck him in the face. And so Jesus' suffering was ended that day. No more pain or insult at the hands of sinful men. The creator of the world was being punished by the creation. And we have to understand that. And sometimes we do that in our own lives. And so what God did, God the Father sent his Son to the world to do what? To forgive sinners. A lot of times we say that Jesus came to the world to forgive sin. But Jesus came to the world to forgive sinners, which we are. And we have to understand that. So we see, first of all, that his suffering, that he died at the hands of men, but his suffering was ended that day. It had been finished. The second thing is he finished our need for a sacrifice. We look at the Old Testament, we wonder, how was the Old Testament saints, how were they saved? Well, they were saved the same thing way we were. They were saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. All those sacrifices that you see in the Old Testament, all the bulls and the goats and all the things that we read about, what you need to understand, all that was pointing to the Savior. It was pointing to the blood of Jesus Christ. That sin, those bloods of those animals didn't forgive anyone. All it was doing was looking forward to the cross, looking forward to the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 10, in verses 11 through 14. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duty. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice. Now listen to this, which can never take away sin. But when this priest had offered it, talking about Jesus, but when this priest had offered for all times one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right-hand side of God. And so Jesus Christ is now our high priest. And it goes on in 13, it says, since that time he awaits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So we're made holy because of the blood of Jesus. When God the Father looks at Nathan Osmond today, he doesn't see my sinfulness. He sees the blood of Jesus covered over my sin debt. And so what we have to understand is, why don't we do sacrifices anymore? Why don't we bring bulls and goats? Because we've had that ultimate sacrifice, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that was ended that day. Listen to what it says in John 1 in verse 29. It says this. It says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. All this ties in together. It's a thread that runs through Scripture, that all of it leads to the person of Jesus Christ. All of it leads to a specific time that Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross. And all of it ties together. Think about what was going on. And here the day is Palm Sunday, and Jesus was making his entry into Jerusalem, and they were all shouting Hosanna, as you heard the kids saying. And what it means Savior. And so he was entering to the city, and it was waiting on that time of Passover. Well, what was Passover? Passover was a celebration remembering when the Jews were set free out of Egypt. And remember that on their doorposts they had the lamb that was the blood put over the lamb. Well, all this ties into a picture of Jesus Christ. None of that's by accident. Jesus dying at this specific time of the year is not an accident, because why? It tells us here, he is our sacrificial lamb. And so all those lambs that were slain before him was doing what? Was pointing to the Jesus Christ when he was slain on the cross for our sin debt. And all of it, it brings us to an understanding that God has it all put together. He knows the beginning, he knows the end. And we can understand that also as we read the Bible. Also, the third thing is it finishes Satan's hold on us. It finishes Satan's hold. In Hebrews chapter 2 in verses 14 through 15, it says this. It tells us this. Excuse me. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shares in their humanity. And so by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Then it goes on in verse 15. It says, and frees those who all their lives were held in slavery by fear of the death. And so what does it do? It frees us from our sin debt. It frees us, first of all, from the penalty of sin. Jesus paid our price, paid in full. It means what? It means that he paid our sin debt. And how many of our sins? He paid for all our sins. So all of our sins were paid. And so he paid the penalty of sin. He took away the power of sin. Those of us that are Christians, we don't have to sin. Never say that you have to sin. You don't have to sin. When we're Christians and we sin, we choose to sin. And that should break our hearts, because it breaks the heart of God. And so God has taken away the power of sin. But one day, praise God, he's going to take away the very presence of sin also. When we're in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no more sin. There'll be no sickness and pain and sorrow and all the things that we deal with in this earth. All of that will be passed as we get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the penalty of sin and the power of sin and the very presence of sin will be taken away. Because why? Because Satan won't have his hold on us anymore. And we have to understand that. So it was finished. So Jesus' suffering was finished. Our need for a sacrifice was finished. Satan's hold on us was finished. And the fourth thing and the last thing is this, is that what was finished was our separation from God. You go back to the book of Genesis and you remember the fall of man. And when Adam and Eve gave in, they ate from the forbidden fruit. What that did, that separated man. Sin separates man. And what we have to understand is that man has been separated. And it kicked Adam and, God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. And what does that represent? That represented that God did what? He separated himself from them. And then from that time on, what we have to understand is man is born sinners. And so we're born separated from God. And it has to be something that brings us back together. And what brings us back together is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it takes away what? It takes away our separation from our Savior. In Colossians 2, in verses 13 through 15, it says this. It says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful way, God made you alive with Christ. Now, what does that mean? God made you alive. What he's talking about, spiritual life. He's not talking about physical. He's talking about spiritual life. So when we're born, we're separated God from spiritually. And so when we're saved, we're brought back to God in a spiritual sense and made spiritually alive. He goes on, he says this, excuse me, it says, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. There it is. Then he goes on, having canceled the written code with its regulations that stood against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the power and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them over the cross. And so what does the cross do? It brings us back in there. And you know, when Jesus died on that cross, what happened? It said that what? It said that in the Holy of Holies, it said what? That the veil was torn. And what does that mean? That separated the holy from holies from just regular men. And so what it does, it brings us into the presence of God. Why don't you have to come to me anymore and ask me to pray for you? It's all because Jesus is now our high priest, and we go to him directly, and he goes to the Father. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is seated at the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for us. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is praying for us. And so when I pray and when other people pray and we end our prayers in Jesus' name, what does that mean? It means we're praying to Jesus that he might reach the Father, that he might hear our prayers. And now he's our heavenly priest. And so now you don't have to bring your prayers to me. You can, and I'll pray for you. But listen, you have access to God. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that gives us access to the Father. And all this took place on that day that we're talking about where Jesus said, it is finished. There was a lot finished on that day. Amen? There's a lot finished on that day. And that small portion of Scripture, it tells us so much. And so it means, what was finished that day? Well, we went from death to life. We went from going to hell to going to heaven. We went from sinners that now we're saints. See, most people don't know that. It's surprising. But, I'm a saint and you're a saint. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says we're saints that occasionally sin. So we're not sinners anymore. We're what? We're saints that occasionally sin. And so now we're saints of God, children of God, and all that was brought to us by the cross. All that was brought to us by the cross. And so this little term here, it is finished, means a lot to us. And that's why it's so important that we celebrate Easter. That's why it's so important that we make much of Easter and understand exactly what it's all about. And not only that, but also teach our children that. They're depending on us as their parents. They're depending on us as a church to teach them what the true meaning of Easter is really all about. Because we can get so caught up in all the things that go on and all the things that happen around Easter and the bunny rabbits and the chocolate and all the fun that we have. And I participated in all those, and our kids did also. But we always centered them back that Jesus Christ is the reason for Easter. Amen? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what's important, and we have to understand that. So in closing, let me say this. Is it finished with you? That's the question. He says it's finished, but you have a part to play in that. See, John 3:16, we heard that read a while ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But you have to understand, that's a promise from God. But it's also a conditional promise. And what is that condition? It says, whoever believes in him. What does that mean? Well, the Bible teaches us what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. It's put our faith in him. It's trusting him as our Lord and Savior. And how do we do that? Well, the Bible tells us it's very simple. First of all, we admit that we're sinners. The Bible says we're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all of us are sinners. And so we have to admit that we're a sinner. And I don't think anybody in this room has a problem admitting that. You know, we've all done things that are wrong, and we know that. And the Bible says believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that he's God's son, that he died on the cross, and he was resurrected from the dead. And he's who he says he is. He's the Son of God. And we have to believe in the person of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then what? The last thing is confess him as our Lord and Savior. It tells us in Romans 10 and verse 9 exactly what we have to do to be saved. It says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be what? You shall be saved. You shall be saved. And listen, that means everything. That means everything. That means where we spend eternity is if are we saved or not. And what did it say we have to do? First of all, we have to accept him as our Lord. And what does that mean? That means he's the boss. That word Lord means he's the boss. It's a surrendering of ourselves. It's a turning from our sins. We call that repentance. A turning away from our sins and turning our lives to God and making him the Lord, making him the boss of everything we are and everything we have. He's in control of our lives. And then it does what? It says what? It says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead. The heart is the center of the emotion. And it means not just with the head that we intellectually believe in Jesus, but it also means with the heart. It means with everything in us that we believe that Jesus is the resurrection Savior. He's the one that's paid for our sin debt. He is the one he is our only paid in full. He's our only ticket into heaven is the person of Jesus Christ. Listen. There is only one way to the Father. There is only one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? There is no other way. It's only through the person of Jesus Christ. And Easter brings us back to that every year. Every year, Easter brings us back to understanding the importance of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you today, when you look at your closing there, is it finished with you? Jesus finished it, but you have a part. And what is your part? You have to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? You admit that you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sins. And you confess him as your Lord and as your Savior. And the Bible tells us that he'll save us and give us that assurance that we know that now we are the children of God. If you've never done that in your life, let me tell you what, Easter would be a great time to do that. Amen? Easter would be a perfect time to do that. So if you've never done that, God's given you an opportunity to do that today. I'm going to pray a prayer, and this prayer is just to lead you, and you're praying to God. And this is what I like to say. God does business with those who mean business. You can't just pray this prayer and not really mean it and it mean anything. But if you have your heart is sincere and God is stroking your heart and you see your need to be saved today, if you'll pray this prayer with earnestness and mean it, truly mean it, God tells us he'll save you today. And any of us in this room, that's what we've done. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's the reason any of us can say today that we're saved. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you'd like to do that, let's pray this prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's pray. You just pray it to yourself. You don't have to pray it out loud. You just pray this prayer. Say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I believe Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for my sins. And I want to confess you today as my Lord and as my Savior. God, I surrender my life to you. And God, I ask you to help me to live a life that glorifies and honors you, Lord. And God, when I die, you assure me that I'm going to be in heaven with you. God, take my life and use it for your glory and for your honor. I turn from my sinful ways and I turn my life over to you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Did you pray that prayer today? And you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you called on the name of the Lord today, God, he will save you. How do I know that? Because he saved me 30-something years ago, basically the same way I just led you. Jesus Christ changed my life, and now I'm the man I am today because of what he's done in me and through me. Amen? And many of us have that same testimony. So maybe you have a need to make it public today. We have an invitation, and they're going to come up and have an invitation. And what this is it's just you're coming and making it public and say, I'm not ashamed of what God's done in my life and be a part of what he's doing. And so I want you to let's all stand as they come and do the invitation. And if you have a need in your life, maybe it's not salvation, but you have something you want me to pray with you about or pray something for you about, whatever it needs. Or maybe you just need to come to the altar this morning and bow down and pray about something that's going on in your life that you're going to ask God to help you in. But whatever your need today, you come. Thank you.
me close to you.
Seat. We have a baptism today, okay?